Our theme for this communion season is Jesus, our Spirit-filled Saviour. And last Lord's Day at our preparation service, we considered how the Lord Jesus himself was prepared by God the Holy Spirit for the work that Jesus came to do as our Saviour. We noted the work of the Spirit when the Lord Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. We considered the work of the Spirit in the baptism of the Lord Jesus when the Spirit came down upon him as a dove, and where he was filled with the Spirit of God for his ministry. And how straight away then he was led out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and in the power of the Spirit, Jesus resisted all temptations and remained true to the Lord. In this sermon, I want us to think about how the Holy Spirit was at work in the public ministry of the Lord Jesus. So I want to speak on Jesus ministering in the Spirit. The Gospel writers tell us a lot about what Jesus did between the temptation in the wilderness and his death at Calvary. And I want to say a little bit today about what we see of the obedience of Christ, and to consider his words and his works. So first of all, thinking about Spirit-filled obedience. In chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel, we are told that after his baptism, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was fully a man. He was fully one of us. And yet, he was also a man who was filled beyond measure with the Holy Spirit of God. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul tells those of us who are followers of Jesus that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're told that we're not to be drunk with wine, which would lead to all sorts of foolishness and recklessness and lawlessness and disobedience, and followed probably by a lifetime of regret. We're not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, it's in the life of Jesus that we see what a man is like who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to focus on one very important thing that we see throughout Christ's life as one who was filled with the Spirit. We see in him obedience. Obedience to God, obedience to God's law. Here are a few verses from John's Gospel that encapsulate these things. John 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus says, "My food is to do God's will. That's what I live on. That's what keeps me going. That's what fuels me, doing the will of God. That's what I'm all about." John 6, 38, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus says, "I've come down from heaven, and my mission is simply to do the will of God. Not what I want to do, but what God the Father wants me to do." John 8, 29, Jesus said, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." And John 15, verse 10, Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So our Savior was not just someone who was able to say no to temptation, as we saw him doing last week. But Jesus is someone who has a positive delight in doing the will of God. Jesus loves to keep the commandments of God. That's what a man is like. That's what a woman is like. A boy or a girl is like, who is filled with the Spirit of God. They love to keep God's commands. They love to do God's will. And often, we instead are filled with our own spirit. Filled with our own spirit, rather than the Spirit of God. And we don't do a great job at saying no to temptation. We often fall into temptation. But probably we do an even worse job at positively obeying the commands of God. And Jesus shows us what it is to delight in obeying God's law, doing his will, keeping his commandments. The Spirit-filled Jesus shows us what it means to be wholehearted in keeping God's law. Jesus Christ kept the law of God for us. He kept it like we have never kept it. We are lawbreakers before God today. And we would stand condemned, and we do stand condemned before God, unless we have Jesus Christ to stand in our place for us. The Spirit-filled Christian is an obedient Christian because the Spirit-filled Christ delighted in obedience. We're not like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're more like Boris Johnson. The law says this is what he has to do. He has to go to Brussels. He has to ask for an extension if certain things have not happened by that time. But he doesn't want to do those things. And so he'll look with all his heart and he'll try to find some way by which he doesn't have to do what the law says. That's what we're like. God's law tells us what we should be. We find ways of getting around it. We find clever ways of disobeying and thinking it's not really too bad at all. Jesus delighted. He delighted in doing the will of God, keeping the commands of God. In Jesus, we see Spirit-filled obedience. Second thing I want to speak about is Spirit-filled teaching. Luke's gospel tells us what happened after Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Luke 4, verses 14 and 15. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. In the power of God the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus goes about preaching and teaching. And that was a vital part of the work that Christ came to do. And he taught and he preached not just in his own human strength as a man, but he preached in the power of God the Holy Spirit. When a man preaches in his own strength, it doesn't accomplish anything. But when a man preaches in the strength of God the Holy Spirit, well then hearts and lives are changed. And Christ preached in the Spirit of God. He returned in the power of the Spirit and he taught, Luke tells us. And in particular, he tells us about how Jesus went into the synagogue in his own hometown of Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And Jesus was given a copy of the book of Isaiah. And he opened it. And there weren't chapter numbers and there weren't verses. It was all just one big long piece of writing. And Jesus found the place. He found the place and he read from the written word of God. He deliberately did what we would have to do. He didn't just say, it says this. He found the place and he read out what it said. And it was just a short section. And in our Bible, it would be Isaiah chapter 61 at the start of that chapter. And Jesus read these words, the Spirit, this is in Luke 4, verse 18, where it's quoted, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant, and then he sat down to teach. And we're only told, in summary, what he said. He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, said Jesus. He says, God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. God has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. God has sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That was the message that Jesus taught in his own hometown. And that little example of the preaching and teaching of Jesus shows us what was at the heart of his teaching. His message was the gospel, the good news, and Jesus says, and I am the good news. I am the one that the Spirit of the Lord is upon. I am the one sent and anointed to preach the gospel. The message of Christ was a self-centered message. And anyone else, that would be a thoroughly bad thing. We don't need to hear about you. But in Jesus Christ, it's the right thing. We do need to hear about him. The good news that he came to proclaim was all about him. And so he had to declare himself. He had to preach himself. Oh, Jesus Christ didn't come into this world just to teach a few good tips about loving one another, or to teach us how we can do a better job at keeping the commands of God. Neither did Jesus Christ come to tell us that God doesn't care anymore about people keeping his commandments. We can do whatever we like in life as long as it feels good to us. Jesus didn't teach that nonsense. But in the power of God the Holy Spirit, Jesus came to teach that we are sinners who need to be born again of the Spirit of God. We need to be made alive because we are dead in our sins. He came to teach us that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot obey God's law as we should. And he came to be our Savior. And he boldly, again and again, proclaims himself as being our only hope. He proclaims himself as being the answer to all our problems. Jesus was an unashamed self-publicist. He declared, there's only one way of forgiveness. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to heaven. And I am that way. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the one you need, is the message of Jesus. And he's either absolutely right or he is utterly deluded. And we need to decide which one he is. But Jesus consistently invites people to come to him. He tells people, you need to repent and you need to believe in me. And he assures us again and again that if we don't do that, there is no other hope for us. John 6:36, Jesus says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And here we have the Spirit-empowered Christ, and he preaches a message that is all about himself as being the Savior we need. Jesus says to us that we need Jesus Christ to save us. Do you know today that that's exactly what he has done? Is he the Savior in whom you are trusting? In Jesus Christ, we encounter Spirit-filled teaching. And then in the third thing I want to speak about is how in Christ we see Spirit-filled works. Jesus wasn't just a man of wonderful words. He was also a man who did wonderful works. And those wonderful works of Jesus, they were signs and evidences pointing to his true identity, that only God could do the things that Jesus was doing. And we read an example in Matthew chapter 12, a very, very needy man. A troubled man is brought to Jesus. Matthew 12, verse 22. One was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute. A man that nobody could help. A man in a desperate state. What could Jesus do for a man who had so many things wrong with him? Both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Well, Jesus healed him. He healed him completely. And the blind and mute man was able to speak and he was able to see. And the multitudes were amazed at what Jesus had done. But the Pharisees were told, the Pharisees were critical of Jesus. And they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. They were saying it's through the devil himself. It's through the boss of the demons that Jesus is casting out the demons. They didn't say it out loud, but that's what they were thinking among themselves. And Jesus, we're told, he knew their thoughts, and he told them what the real explanation was for what he had done. Matthew 12, 28. Jesus says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And Jesus said, I'll tell you how I do this. I do it by the Spirit of God. It's by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons. And then he went on to give the most solemn of warnings in all the Bible about anyone who would blaspheme against the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 32, Matthew 12. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And those Pharisees were being warned that when they said Jesus is doing this by the power of the devil, they were getting very close to blaspheming against the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus did his miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. He did many great miracles. And as was the case with this demon-possessed, blind, and mute man, they were done through the Spirit of God. These miracles showed Jesus to be indeed a man filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with a spirit beyond measure. The power of Satan, the grip that Satan had upon people, was not strong enough to keep hold of those people. Jesus set them free. The power of the Spirit in Christ was stronger than the power of the devil. The Lord Jesus Christ never sought to do something and found that he wasn't able to do it. We have that experience. Christ didn't have that experience. Jesus healed everyone that he sought to heal. Jesus fed all the people that he sought to feed. He drove out all the demons that he sought to drive out. He raised from the dead all of those that he sought to raise from the dead. He stilled all the storms that he sought to still. And Jesus Christ is our great Spirit-filled Savior. And the testimony that will be born about Christ forever and ever is that he will be seen to have saved all those that he sought to save. Jesus will save all who were given to him by his Father to save, and none shall be lost. Jesus doesn't try to do things and doesn't quite manage it. What he puts his hand to, he succeeds in. And if Jesus Christ set his heart upon saving you, you will be saved. Some of those who have been given by God the Father to God the Son that he might save them. Some of those people today may look as if they're very, very far from the kingdom of God. Some of the people in the past that God has saved looked as if they were far, far from the kingdom. I was reading a few days ago a little chapter about John Newton, the writer of the famous hymn, Amazing Grace. John Newton wasn't a man who was writing hymns all his life. John Newton was a vile, vile sinner. He describes himself in that hymn as being a wretch. That probably doesn't do him justice. He was worse than a wretch. Newton was an utterly foul-mouthed blasphemer. He was a man drunk most of his days. He was an utterly cruel slave trader. He was the kind of man that people just did not want to have among them. He was a rapist. He delighted in raping the female African slaves that he was taking across from Africa to America. He was a man who was filled with lust, and he would go wherever that lust led him. And he was a man who loved to destroy any sign of Christian faith that he saw in anyone. He made it his mission to ridicule their faith, to make them see the foolishness of what they said they believed. And he was utterly anti-Jesus Christ. But God sent a storm when Newton was out in the middle of the Atlantic. And God brought powerfully into the mind of Newton words that he had been taught by his godly mother, His mother died when he was 7 years old. But God brought into his memory words that his mother had taught him. And God used those words to save John Newton. It was a messy business, the conversion of John Newton. He relapsed into very, very serious sin. But God restored him again. And God made that man into a man of God rather than a man of sin. And Newton became a well-known preacher and pastor and writer. And he was someone who played a vital role in the abolition of the slave trade in which he had spent years of his life. Nobody who would have seen John Newton would have thought, and there's a man that God will save. He was the worst of the worst. And the Lord saved him. And the Lord will save every sinner that has been given to him by his Father to save. Because what the Lord sets out to do, he does without fail. The Spirit that lived in Christ our Savior, that sovereign Holy Spirit, he is alive, he is well, and he is living today in the people of Jesus Christ across the face of this earth. And as he led Christ into obedience, he will lead us into obedience also. And he will lead us into exalting Christ, because that's what the Spirit does. The Spirit exalts Christ. And he will lead us to be those who will attempt great things in the cause of Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Lord, ministered in the Spirit. Spirit was with him in his life, in his work. We see it in his obedience. We see it in his teaching. We see it in his great works. Spirit was with him every day. In Christ, we see a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And God says to us, you too, you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.